session number 25449, Reel 2.
This is Tom Jackson, Reel 2. We're talking about your training with the Royal West Kent Depot at Maidstone Barracks from April 1940. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned you were on the 3-inch mortars. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what training you got on them?
Well, all I can remember getting was, like you do the posing sort of thing, you're designated one on the base plate, one on the barrel, and one on the tripod. And one of the worst bits to carry was the tripod. And I wished that me a few times. And yet, of course, you always had to do things at the double. And me being a little bloke, didn't go much on that. Done that.
Did you actually fire it?
No, that came later. We went to Lydd from a firing course. And I never fired the 3-inch mortar. Then I fired the 2-inch mortar.
Now, you know, we're looking at during your basic training at Maidstone. Mm. What else might? Did you do any sort of tactical exercises or training?
Yes, night exercises and. Oh,
what were they like? What sort of
Tell us, I didn't understand half of them, but you're supposed to be enemy coming here, this one, enemy coming. And when you went on exercise around the country, I was lucky enough, I had a couple of chaps, country chaps, and when we was moving the country, we were looking for enemy. These blokes were always spot on and finding them. I said, how come you can see them and I can't? They said, we can't see them. I said, well, you're right. They said, we're watching the cattle. The cattle, if they see some movement, they always go towards it. And that worked out for me. So I learned that one. See?
How did you get on with the other men in your...
Initially, when we was called up, eat, drink, and be merry tomorrow, sort of, we part, sort of thing. But I got very paddy with one bloke later on, but...
Was there any trouble amongst recruits? You know, I mean, because...
Not that I know of. I was putting silly billets in. I wasn't in the barracks, you see.
So there were no bullies that you were aware of?
Not I was aware of, no. If you've got a big bloke marching behind you, he's all be kicking you out the backside because you're taking the shot. But no, there's no bully that I know of.
What about the chaps in the billets with you? How did you get on with them?
They were two complete strangers to me. Bob Peach and Harry Baldwin. Always remember their names.
Bob Peach.
And Harry Baldwin. And after the training, I never met them anymore.
But you got on well with them.
Oh, yeah. As luck would have it, I had the single bed, so I was all right.
Now, what about the instructors? What were they like?
Most of them were good. I was one particular sergeant. I was sort of a bit of a blue eye with him because I used to pass on messages to his girlfriend in Woolworths on my way back to me billet of a night time.
What were their attitudes like to you? I mean, were they rough?
No.
The way they instructed you? Did they know what they were talking about? What were they like?
Most of them, what I found, there's only one bloke, I'll never actually do it, with the sergeant mate, Tichon, little bloke he was, about 2'9" sort of thing, and he used to call people a lazy bee. Until some bloke stepped out of the rank one day and wanted to punch him on the nose, he stopped it. No, because behind barracks, which would Maidstone Barracks as it was then, there's a slope. And as you're coming back up the slope, the blokes, I suppose, used to drop their arms a bit. Lift your arms up, you're lazy. So the bloke turned around, got away with it.
Was there much swearing by the...
No, I never heard no.
What about amongst the lads?
No, I never heard a lot, mate. Tell you the truth, when you were there, you was grafting working all the time. So you never had much time. Only you had a tea break, whatever they call it. Tiffin break, whatever.
And officers, did you see much of the officers during training?
Not a lot, no, not that I can recall. Oh, I can always remember, as they got you on the screen saying, as you turn, you call out the time, one stop, two stop. So, one bright bloke turned around, looked, see the back clock, called out the rock. I always remember that one. But training, one Sunday we went to Fort Walsh and done all the ammunition there. No, all of a sudden they said, after so many weeks, you're joining the battalion.
Hang on, don't run ahead. What about preparing for kit inspections, that kind of thing? Do you remember about that? You know, I mean, how strict were they?
They used to have to lay out your ground sheet and lay all your kit as per instructed, not just toss it on the floor like you. And if it's half inch out, sergeant used to kick it so it's 2 inches out, sort of thing. So you keep putting it. No, I say I've done pretty well, my sergeant at the depot, because I used to deliver a personal message for him.
But what about? How much would you have to polish your shoes? How?
Oh, you've got to show your face in the toe caps. And later on, they stopped polishing boots. Yeah, dab at them. But the blokes wouldn't have. They used to put a dab in them and wipe it off afterwards when they went out on town. Polish boots.
So you didn't mind this?
I didn't like it, but I just tolerated it. You know, you're the, as I say, SOB.
How were you taking to army discipline generally? I mean, you thought you wouldn't be able to cope with it.
I suppose, truthfully, I'd never had anyone bossing me about. I suppose I didn't do too bad. I thought myself, if I don't do it, somebody's going to kick me up the backside, so I'll do it. So that's all there was to it.
So in the end, you went along with it?
Gone along with it,
yes.
You
didn't stand out against
it? No, no would be a rebel, because you was a loser before you started. That's all it was.
Now, how long were you at Maidstone, about?
In Maidstone itself?
At the barracks, I mean.
Oh, only a matter of a couple of months, I suppose, if that. Then so we went out.
Till June?
I wouldn't like to say... That's absolutely correct, because then we started going out and around the country in billets.
Were you posted to a battalion then? Or?
Later on, they said I never got posted to a battalion. Well, after travelling around a bit, I never got posted to a battalion until it came out of France, and I joined them at Pakenham Park in Birmingham.
So that would be around about June.
About that, or later, yeah.
So what were you doing when you were travelling around the country? Who were you with then?
That was the battalion when I travelled around the country. Because being in the army, you're here today and you're up in Scotland, sort of thing.
So that's when you were with the 4th?
When I got joined the battalion at Pakenham Park, we went all over the place.
Now, where's Pakenham Park?
Birmingham.
And what were your first impressions when you joined? Now, you were joining the 4th Battalion, Royal West Kent.
West Kent,
and what were your first impressions of them?
Well, I was ignorant of all army life, and I thought to myself, well, I don't go much on this, because I'd never had anyone bossing me about, sort of thing. And yeah, just sort of toed the line, and so many restrictions, 23:59, I had learned that, no later than that, which I could never tell the time, could I? restrictions we had put on us for different things, which you can do. And you mustn't talk like this outside, and you mustn't talk like that outside. All army life had to be.
And what did you think of the battalion? What state were they in after they got back from France?
Well, one or two of you had been having a bit of a dust up in France, so said what they'd done, but they never sort of exaggerated what I thought. And I thought, it don't sound too bad, really, except you keep your life. If you're going one way, keep going, be the front man, don't be... No, they were a bad lot of chaps.
And they were territorials, were a conscript.
Conscript,
did that make any difference to either you or them?
No, not as chaps, it didn't. No. The only thing I found once, when we got moved to Pakenham Park, we moved around various places all around, and they brought out the first leave roster. And they said it all come out of the hat. Now, they've been on demob leave and all that when they come out back from France. So when the new leave roster come out of 80-odd blokes, my name on the list was about 84. So I thought, that don't work out. And all those blokes had been on leave. I know they'd been in France, but they'd lock them up the top again. So when I sort of said I didn't like that much to the orderly, to the clerk, I said, you haven't fiddled that, have you, Jerry? And of course, that didn't do it. But most of them, we just accepted. We was all in together then. And we went round various places.
Which company were you put in when you first joined them?
D Company.
That's
the one and only.
What were you doing at first? Just an ordinary
rifleman training, yep.
Well, what do you remember of your training with them?
You'd done field work, seeing them not be seen, sort of concealment and that.
What way? How would you manage that?
Well, been with a lot of lads from round Maidstone and the countryside, you just sort of know how to hide. Except when they wanted casualties on the day it was pouring rain, they made me a casualty, and I lay in the field for about 2 hours getting soaking wet. Must have stained up. Didn't go much on that. No, the training wasn't... I didn't think the training was too bad, mind you. Didn't realise what was coming, did I?
And what about firing? Is that when you did your firing and grenades and things?
Grenades we threw down at lid. Like they said, you put out your finger. Aim for observe, because I was a bit slow ducking, and some person politely told me to take my thing down a bit, which I learnt very quickly after the first throw, not to stand up and watch what was happening.
Could you throw them far? Because
I don't know what the regulation, what they anticipate. I mean, just throw them, I forget what the target was, but you had to throw them towards the target.
Did they make you nervous?
I suppose it was really, or whether it was, whether it was excitement, I don't know what, because we never, let's face it, we've never fired live ammunition or thrown grenades.
Any other firing exercises?
Only, you're coming under fire, so you hit the deck and wriggle along on your belly and all that, and they fire over the top of your head, so you didn't lift your head, you wouldn't have no head lift. That's live ammunition, that was.
Was it realistic?
Yeah. Well, realistic enough for me. I wouldn't realise it was going to get worse later on. When we was down at, let's say we went to Lid for the grenade throwing, the throwing range is down there. But later we finished up being stationed down on that part by Dungeness for quite a while, part of our track round.
You were moving around all over,
were you? Oh, yeah. We'd done the coastal defences. Because strange enough, when we was down at by Dungeness, the bloke I was being mate with at the time came from Deptford. He smoked in a gunpowder factory. He hadn't got a clue about it anyway. And they put us on blockhouse, and we had all the apparatus there. When I won't tell you what we're supposed to do, and that there was an invasion coming. I knew if it came, I think I'd have been up in Ashford in about 3 seconds.
What were you meant to do?
Bust the plunger. Blow the road up. But the point is, you could blow the road up just behind you. But if you know the area, it was all shingled then. And I mean, not shingled, stones, real hard graft.
In the Dungeness area?
Yeah, I remember that. Because old Colonel Finch came round one Monday morning, you had to wear your respirator in the morning, the whole morning. Don't matter what he was doing, you wore your respirator. And we were putting up barbed wire defences, because we had our respirators all hanging down. And, snowing like the devil, was all saying good words, and he's on the road throwing his stick, throwing at us, making us to put our respirator on. Well, we couldn't hear him, we couldn't see him, could we? And then we'd done that for a while. Then we came back and...
What was it like on coastal defence duties? I mean...
Well, what our particular job, there was a blockhouse down towards the beach, because we weren't far back off the beach, and one all stopped in the blockhouse, ready to do the works, while the other one...
Ready to blow up the road.
Yeah. Well, the other bloke, stood outside, crying with cold and that, shivering like the devil. And my partner then, being a smoker, I said to him, when the officer comes around, he had to go walk in that blockhouse. He's had to go... I said, he's tumbled your smoke in, because you couldn't smoke outside because of that little red light. So I was always outside the area. And we'd done all kinds of things. And we travelled around different places. We finished up Halton Kirby.
What were you doing in these places?
Making fools of ourselves. Just on marches and drills and that. Being educated, map reading and such like. Yeah.
Were there any characters you remember from the battalion from that time?
I suppose one of the two blokes you thought must have been characters. And I know that one little bloke done her hairdressing was Abramovich. He stood about that high. And there's another bloke named Goskinski. Now, what did he do? Because we had every nation where we had Welsh, Scots, Jewish people and all that. So,
you all mixed together?
Oh, yeah. In fact, old Dave Jacobs, Yiddish boy, his people had a place in Billingsgate, and he used to go on the C of E church parade. Because you have so many for church parade Sunday morning, and the rest could be caught for duties around, and that could last all day. Like, you went on church parade, afterwards you was excused. So you should pump yourself up for church parade. And I only wanted so many. And I always remember the old sergeant mate came along one day and said, "Jacobs, you're not CV." "I am for the next hour and a half, Sergeant Major," he said. Because he's one of us, so the boys, we used to just stand here. I got a photograph from him when I was at Kingswood. They said, I suppose there was little groups and we all got together, like, was more or less had the same leanings. And we used to, like, if we had money, like, we used to go and have a light out or beer and that, mix it together. Various little pubs all round. We stationed at Seaford for a while. Dungeon Nest, various places, always up in country, I know I got caught on aircraft duty, Findlay on the Eel, Grindley on the Eel.
Now, what was that?
Doncaster, on top of a water tower. Nice, comfortable, sick, sleeping on concrete, cold concrete, lovely it was.
What were you meant to be doing?
Looking for observing the aircraft. Findlay uncle's come. Just too bad. No, but every aircraft that came over, you had a report. And any heavy movement of military traffic. And the village policeman showed us where the local pub was. And we used to be in there 10 o'clock in the morning on the Sunday.
Now, what about the sergeants? Do you remember any of their names? Or any particularly stand out in your memory as good sergeants or bad sergeants?
I can't.
Any officers?
One officer I never liked.
Why not? Who was that?
And one sergeant we didn't like, but I didn't let that, he's never let it bother me.
What didn't you like about these people?
Their attitude. Yeah.
What made a good NCO and a bad NCO, a good officer, a bad officer for you?
If his section or his platoon or his company had confidence in him, that was it. If you thought a bloke was a bit of a gentle and I'd snide like, you'd say, "Oh, leave him alone." You wouldn't want to know about him. And I say, I joined the battalion, and then we put into companies, and I drove around, and I was in 17th Platoon for the whole of my time until
17th Platoon D Company.
Yeah, until the desert.
Now, what about, are there any officers' names you remember? I know you know Colonel Finch you mentioned. What was he like?
What I can gather from him, he'd married somebody in the flour business, a big mill street, I think. But he was, I'm sure he was a TA or not, many. But anyway, I didn't have much dealing with him. He used to, walk around full of P&I, as I used to say. But we never had him too long. Then we had several, and then we'd done all kinds of duties. But I always remember one other officer I met was in our battalion, and he was a little brigadier at the time when we was up near Doncaster. And he used to, finicky little bloke, and as he went by, he was going, I suppose this, we travelled all round, and all of a sudden we come back and we're doing...
So who was your D Company officer? I mean, who was your major?
Oh, we had various guys. They came and went all the time.
So no one sticks in your mind from that time?
Now, let me think who we had at the beginning, when I joined them.
So you can't remember who you were. That's fair enough. Now, so what happened there? You were moving round and about England, from what I can see.
Yeah.
Now, how long was that for? You joined them in June 1940. How long was this going on for?
Must have been 6 or 7 months, something like that. So, we're stationed right, we're down the south of, round that up and down the country and round the country. And all of a sudden they said to us, we're down south here somewhere. Oh, then we finished up at Kingswood.
Birmingham.
Sorry. And we said, after been doing all this fun and games, they said, "Well, what are you doing?" They said, "You know, tomorrow." And the next day, we all marched down the road. We all come back with a little white kit bag with a big sun helmet. All the overseas kit. And was at Kingswood then. After various, lots of things happened, like, between and that.
Nothing you remember in particular, though?
only the misdemeanours.
Do you want to tell us any of them all?
Well, none of us ever knew the time. We didn't know what 2359 was, did we? You know, but of course we always had one mate on duty that night who was taking the name. So, you know, no, we've done all kinds of exercises and which lots of us thought was a load of toffee, like, you know, we didn't want to know anything about that sort of thing. That wasn't soldiering, but it was. But no.
So what about this tropical kit? What were you issued with? What do you remember of that?
Shorts which come down past your knees. Never fitted. Patties in. And hose stops. This great big pith helmet. And we mustn't say anything to anybody what was happening outside, you know. So we all come walking down through the town with all our tropical kit, like, so no one knew where we was going, sort of thing, did they? It's all secret. We're walking along with tropical kit. And we used to say, well, because at Kingswood, I might tell you, we used to dodge out a lot there. We used to come out, and the point was, we're not used to dodge out at Kingswood.
What do you mean, dodge out? Go AWOL.
Forget what 2359 was, you know. And you weren't allowed outside 4 mile limit, I think it was. But I didn't know Kingswood was more than 4 miles from Woolwich, did I? So instead of coming by train where the CMPs would check your passes, I used to come back on the bus right the way round. Except when I got to Woolwich, I had to jump off outside the army barracks. The Royal Artillery barracks. There's always someone on the gate there. No one moved faster than Tom Jackson. Yeah.
And how long would you be... I mean, were you actually AWOL or just going?
No, just going home. I overstayed by about 8 hours once.
Now, why was that?
Well, to tell you the truth, I'd won a bit over the top. Not over one, over the eight, one and well over. And instead of being back in time for 2 o'clock, divisional supply, but it was a duty company. We were supposed to supply a guard. Well, it went out at 2 o'clock, and unfortunately, I never got back till about 2:30. And no one had everyone covered me up until then.
What would you do when you got back to Woolwich? It sounds like you just went to the pub.
Well, it's funny, because straight away you take off your go civic. Well, I used to know all the pubs and clubs. I used to serve a lot of them. And,
what, with vegetables?
And fruit. And I used to go in lots of pubs and that. And I was in the Shakespeare Hotel in Woolwich once, and the big lounge, they'd put officers only served in this lounge. Well, none of us could read. We used to walk in straight like we used to before the war, and all the lid of our maid, she'd go, psst, 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 can't serve you. And we said, we'll fetch someone who can. And then the missus come over, she said, turn it up, lads. So we kept one. There was Ginger out in the Navy, is that on the back of his head? Little Tommy Stewart and the engineer, is that all undone, his epaulets, his cap under his epaulets. In fact, four of us all standing there. All of a sudden, an officer come and tap one of them on the shoulder and says, can't you read? So little Tommy Stewart, his Newcastle bloke he was, in the Royal Engineers, he says, can't you read? And he picked on the right bloke. He said, no, I can't. Never said it's blight, is that? So he said, well, read it now. He said, I can't. And he told him. Of course, one word led to another. We were having a few words. And Lily, the barmaid, said, I can't serve you. So we just kept saying, we'll serve. So the officer comes and said, well, I'll fetch someone who said to remove you. So, of course, that didn't go down very well. So we told little Tommy Stewart, told him where to go, and old Reg Brake, the governor, come round and said, come on, Tommy, said, take him round the other side. So we wouldn't budge. We stood down one end, having our beers in the hostels, the officers up the other end, till we just decided to walk. Now we came. Cause won't tell all the things that happened.
No, you can.
Reg Brake, the governor, oh, Tommy said, don't do that again. I said, I wish I could. Oh, some of our friends, like in civvy time, was Jewish boys, as I told you. So we said, all right, we'll go with them. So we walked round to the Jewish club. And then we walked in straight away. As we walked in, there's a beer put on the counter straight away. You know, no money. They just put it on, be on the counter for you. And when I walked in, Phil Campbell, he's the local one of the local tailors. He was chairman. And as I walked in, he walked straight over and put 60 senior service in one hand, an attentionally note in the other. I said, "What's that, Phil?" "She's one of our boys, isn't she?" I said, "Yeah, but go away," he says. And he politely told me to, because I've never smoked, ever smoked. And he gives a, like I say, he gives a attentionally note and it's 60 fag. And we went up the bar and and of course there was the four of us. When we was full up there, we had to go up there.
So you got very well with the Jewish community then?
We had Jewish friends. In one of my photographs upstairs, at one of my parties, I got the boys, the Jewish boys. Because that's funny, because when my sister was, when it finished early hours in the morning, never had money for taxis then, they all flopped out on the floor till it got daylight. And my sister was cooking the breakfast up. She was at Welling at the time. She cooked them around the breakfast, and Dave, he was the Herbert of the two brothers, he's sitting with his knife and fork. "Come on, Gert. Come on, Gert." "Sure." "When he's greedy, you got the so-and-so's," he said. "Yeah, what about me?" "Well," she says, "I don't really know what to give you." Same as him, have a greedy. And she said, and unfortunately, him, I say one of the best I've known in years, but during the war, because of his eyesight and that, he was bad and that, he was sent on war work and machines hung out of the machine, tore his chest apart, and that was his lot. But he's going to the Jewish club, he's going to all the clubs. I was never a member, because business-wise, I used to know all the stewards and that. But, so then...
So you used to enjoy these trips back to Ullerton, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But now, you were at Kingswood,
yeah.
You'd been kitted out of a tropical kit. Yeah. Did you get an embarkation leave, a proper one, where you could go home?
I can't remember. We got leave, but I don't know how much it was and that. But, because we mustn't tell anybody where we're going. We've been marching through the town with pith helmets. And anyway, got to Kingswood, and all of a sudden they said, "Right, you're away." Oh, well, at the start of this episode, because I used to come home on the bus, as I told you, just to avoid the train, and we stationed in a big house. And my wife, as she's been going past the station, she sees the CMP's busy checking all the passes. So she done no more and phoned up Kingswood to tell them, to tell me to be not to go near the station. And she only told the company commander, Captain Roffey was at the time, she told him, "Tell me." She didn't know who he was. Because when we were back on the Monday morning, Roff says, "You and I've trained your wife well, haven't you?" So we got all our kit and all of a sudden she said, "Well, you're away."
Now, you were married. That's quite new. When did you get married?
That's another story. I was called in and I was engaged.
Before you joined up?
I got engaged. I joined up then. So I said, because I knew people in the jewellery, or my wife knew the person in the jewellery, and I'd got my engagement ring and all that stuff. And all of a sudden I said, "I've got a feeling we're going abroad." So I said, "Do you think we'll get married before we go?" Anyway, cutting a long story short,
because that's quite interesting. Some people did get married early because they were going abroad. Yeah. Some people held off because they were worried about leaving a widow. What was going through your mind?
I thought so. That's the one, to me, the best thing that... She was the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I said, I made a mistake when I said it, really. I didn't realise it. I said, "Well, if you're married to me," I said, "and anything happens and I don't come back," I said, "you'll get a widow's pension." "Oh, that was it. You're coming back," she said. "She said, otherwise I wouldn't marry her." So I got married. Now, I hadn't told anybody in the army. And we were stationed at